Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Welcome to another edition of the Wrestle Horror Podcast. This time around, we're going to talk about wrestling. But before I get to that, let me introduce first my co-host, Donnie Hoover.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
And one half of the Women of Wrestling, Chris Millspa.
Howdy, y'all.
And we've got a really special guest for you this week, everybody. How many listeners out there remember the original Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling? Because we have got a treat for you today. We have got the Royal Hawaiian on the line with us. April, how are you?
I'm great. Aloha, everybody. How you doing?
We are doing fabulous. Thanks so much for taking some time to chat with us on Wrestle Horror.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Donnie, I believe you had some questions for the Royal Hawaiian.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. First off, how did you come up with the name the Royal Hawaiian? Was that you, or did the Glow people tell you what your name was going to be?
Well, hi, Donnie. Actually, for me, the name was decided by Glow. It actually was one of the 12 characters that they had thought to be the 12 that were going to do the pilot. And so when I went to the interview, we didn't know what we were interviewing for. They just said it was an audition for a television show, and they were looking for all kind of different ethnicities and any walk of life. And if you were athletic, it was a plus and all that. And I, at the time, was modeling, acting, and dancing. And I do hula, and I've been dancing since I was about 6. And that was on my resume. So I guess once I got there, the audition was in Hollywood at the Hyatt Hotel on Sunset. And Hollywood and I, the character Hollywood from Glow, her and I were at the same audition back in 1985. So we are two of the original 12 that were selected for the pilot. And because I had the background in hula, and I think the look that they maybe were looking for, they, you know, selected so many, and then they worked it down to 12, but they kind of had girls in mind of which characters they wanted to play. So mine was just that, you know, I happened to have the hula background, and, you know, in the interviews and such, they asked what, you know, our background is, what kind of experience. And so it was kind of a no-brainer for me. It was kind of easy, just popped in my lap. And I lived in Hawaii for 25 years, so I do have that background. My dad has family there, so we grew up there from the time we were kids. And so that's how it was. We just developed the characters after they gave us the name, and then it was for us to just take it and run. So that's what we did.
Oh, very cool. And you were actually the second Glow champion in the history of Glow. You were the second winner of the crown.
That's correct. I was the first heel. So mm-hmm. I was the first bad girl. So it was an honor. It was exciting. And everybody says, is that what the highlight was? Well, of course, you know, I mean, you win the crown. And, you know, like all the girls that never got the crown and won is Hollywood. You know, I mean, she's today we call, you know, we consider her our icon. And it's like, now, how could she have wrestled for 4 years and never been a champion? You know, so right. That's kind of a weird thing. But yes, I was always honored. So it was a great beginning. You know, it was a great start. And it kind of just went from there. So real exciting.
Oh, yeah. And it said you won. It looks like you won it in 1986. And it said, I read somewhere that you held it for 120 days.
Yep, I guess so. You guys would know more than me. Actually, we have fans that know more about what I did back when I was wrestling with Glow. You know, some fan will ask me something, and I end up calling one of our, what we call, super fans. And, you know, we've got James Mayer in Florida. We have Manny in San Diego. We have Mike Rand in the East Coast. So we have all of our historians of Globe that if I don't know the answer, like I said, I kind of have a memory issue. So a lot of things I do remember, but then there are some details that I don't. So I'll call them and say, hey guys, a fan's asking me this. And these guys know episode by episode. They know what matches are in which episode. It's crazy. They know who won, who didn't. They know like a certain, you know, move that was in a particular match. Like what did you do to pin her? And, you know, all that kind of stuff. They know all of that. It's amazing. Amazing. So, you know, it's been great. And we have, a lot of dedicated and just loyal fans after all these years.
Yeah. Now, April, one of the questions I had for you, this is Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
When you first got hired on, how much training did they actually put you through?
Actually, when they narrowed it down, so they were looking for 12 girls, and I don't even know how many they dwindled down to, but there was probably about maybe 25 to 30 girls, and maybe less, maybe a few less. We were all sent down to Watts in LA, and we were training with Mondo Guerrero at a gym down there. Not the greatest area, but we would go down there Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I believe. And we used to drive down there on our own. And then we had a kind of a little incident. There was a biker bar at the corner of this gym. So we kind of had a little ruckus, and I think the total time was maybe about 3 months. And David McLean actually hired someone from the biker bar to be a guard for us because there was some kind of ruckus he was worried about our safety and such. So they hired someone for the biker bar to be available when we were coming in and when we were going out so that there wasn't any problems. And then they also, at one point, limoed us down there, so it was not a lot of individual cars and such. But it was about 3 months or so, and we started off, and the ones that couldn't get certain moves or just weren't getting a hang of it, you know, we'd go the next day, and, you know, that girl wasn't there, this girl wasn't there, and, you know, they kind of weeded them out if they thought they weren't able to grasp the training. I wasn't an athlete, so I do have, you know, athletic training. I had never done wrestling. I played softball. I played baseball. I played boys' little league baseball when I was a little girl because they didn't have girls' sports. So I actually played baseball, little league boys' baseball with my brothers. And that was the first thing I did athletically. My brothers played football, but I didn't voyage into that, but I did do the baseball. And then I also played basketball. And then when they came out with girls softball, then I switched from baseball to softball. And that was fun because I was playing with other girls. And so when we went to the training, you know, they were like, okay, does anybody have any background? Who's familiar with wrestling and who's not? And I was also a cheerleader, so I had the tumbling background. I was a cheerleader from like the time I was like six. My brothers were in Pop Warner or Junior All-American football. And so I was a cheerleader. So I started at a young age, and all through grade school, high school, I was a JV and a varsity cheerleader. So I did have that, which was a plus because then you at least had the experience with doing, you know, front rolls and cartwheels and roundoffs and roundoffs, back, all of that good stuff, you know, so that helped. And then it was really exciting because of course we had Mondo Guerrero. So the best training, right? And it was really exciting, lots of fun. I can tell you one time during training, some of the girls were messing around and not paying attention to his instructions. So he took the closest girl that was by him and wrapped his arm around her, held her in a sleeper hold and let her fall to the ground. And he got everybody's attention. So all the girls straightened up.
That's a way to do it.
Of course, you know, and we were like, holy moly, what was that, right? And so then the girl comes to and he says, okay, any more messing around while I'm talking and trying to teach you is going to be out the door. You see what just happened? that's what's going to happen if you don't pay attention. So from then on, it was good to go. He had everybody's full attention. And they just kept weeding the girls out as they, and so we eventually ended up with 12 of us. And he continued to train us. And then we did the pilot. I want to say, Jeannie, Hollywood and I talk about, I want to say December 5th, somewhere around there is when we traveled to Vegas to shoot the pilot. So that was the first thing that we actually filmed besides all the promos and the PSAs and all that kind of stuff. So we did a lot of traveling in the LA area to do all the, at that time it was like Tom Schneider, Ion LA, PM Magazine. We did Johnny Carson, Joan Rivers, all the talk shows. We did that whole circuit where we were trying to advertise for the show. And then, of course, it went to the Napi and it got sold. But the pilot filming was in Las Vegas at the Riviera. And that was tons of fun.
Okay. Chris, do you have any questions for the Royal Hawaiian?
I've got one that is kind of flowing. I'm hearing a lot of similarities. April, have you ever watched, Royal Hawaiian?
You can call me April. I don't mind. Whatever you want to call me is fine. No problem, Chris. Anything.
Have you ever watched the Netflix show?
I have.
Okay. I'm hearing a lot of similarities between your past in GLOW and the actual show. So are you finding that it's pretty true to form?
I would say maybe 50-50.
Okay.
Really, they saw our documentary, the producers of Netflix GLOW, and then I guess that's what prompted them to make a show after they saw that. So when I saw season one, it was awesome when we heard there was going to be such a thing. We're like, what? Someone's making a TV series about us? So it was exciting. So we were just waiting and waiting till it came out. Then when it came out, we were excited. There were a lot of girls at the beginning who did not like it and were actually kind of not real positive. They actually like went on interviews and went on camera talking about what was happening on the show and how horrible and terrible and all this, which it wasn't, but that was the interpretation of some of the girls who weren't happy that it wasn't exactly like our show. They're two different shows. Our show was a family show. We had kids at our live show, and we have kids that watch us on TV when it was on TV that were kids. Now, the Netflix show, I would say that the age of the kids that were watching our show could not watch Netflix, at least not now with even seeing season three. But, some of our fans used to have to lie to their parents. They'd say, okay, good night. And the moms would tuck them into bed. And then once they knew their parents were at least almost sleeping, they would run with their siblings to the TV and they would turn it on and they would fake. And like one brother-sister story that we've learned was the brother sat at the TV, the sister sat at the door. And if she heard footsteps or the parents, calling or making noise or whatever, she'd tell them, change it, and they'd have a little tag team kind of thing going on. And then one, I learned this was one guy's mother saw him watching the original GLOW show, and she saw Chainsaw and Spike, and she saw the chainsaw and went berserk. So she told him, turn that TV off, and she went and blocked his cable so he could no longer access GLOW anymore. So he was bummed. So there are a lot of stories that we hear from the fans, but for Netflix GLOW, it was based on our show for sure. But our director, Matt Simber, was not a druggie. He didn't do drugs. He didn't smoke. He was a gambler, and he loved women. That was his thing. He didn't do drugs like the show part. Yeah. So that part, it's far-fetched. Now, Netflix, they're here to make money and to get viewers. What sells? Mm-hmm. Sex and drugs. Sure. So, it's not to say that, personally for myself, I don't know of a lot of the details that went on when people say, oh, but we know blah, 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 blah. And I say, well, you know what? I was only there for season one. So I can tell you that I was not involved in any of that kind of stuff. But what happened after the fact, I can't really verify or deny. But I do enjoy the series. It took me a couple episodes to kind of get warmed up to it. But as it's gone on, it's gotten better. So, like, I liked season two more than one, and I like season three more than two. So, you know, and now that we found out there will be a fourth and a final season, which is a bummer, but it's exciting because at least we're getting one more. And who knows? I don't know. I mean, if Netflix is getting rid of it after the fourth season, I don't know. Is it possible for somebody else to do something with it, to continue it? Or I don't know. I'm not really, you know, versed in all of that kind of sell a show and can someone pick it up or not pick it up, but we'll see. I know the fans will be bummed. Pardon?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, we get it.
I knew Netflix would have a lot of artistic license with it. That's just what Netflix does. I was just curious how much you thought there was a similarity to.
And well, the thing that they did do, because they couldn't use our characters and likeness because we created those characters, is how they combine the characters together. So, like, one of my favorites is Britannia because she's, like, part Zelda, part Godiva. So that kind of is, like, I thought was an interesting combination. And just, you know, just the different things. And, you know, it's they've got lots and lots of writers and ideas and what have you. When we were doing our show, we were a low budget, you know. I mean, as far as we had a writing staff and a great one at that, and then we had a great director, Matt Simber, but you know, a lot of the stuff we came up with ourselves. So the gimmicks and actually just taking our character, developing and running with it, they basically said, you know, Matt was really good and wanted to get the creative side going. And you know, it was a lot easier for me that my character was just dropped in my lap and I could do what I want, and it was based on a Hawaiian girl, you know, versus me getting a role and being in some movie or play or whatever, and I got to learn lines that the thing is already written for. I don't have any leeway to be creative or to do things off the cuff and stuff like that. So this was just great. I loved it. Loved it. So we just could do whatever we wanted. You know, a lot of the stuff was just ad-libbing because everybody asked, well, you know, when they put your pictures up and you guys are talking and you're, most of the time I was yelling and, you know, screaming at somebody, and they're like, but what you say, was that all scripted? And I'm like, no, they would just tell us tomorrow is your shoot for your, you know, your intros, blah, blah, blah. And then they would come on, they would ask us questions, and we had to respond, and that's what they taped. You know, so some people say, oh, I love the line when you say, me, give Americana flowers? I don't think so. Maybe when she's dead, I'll take them to her funeral or something like that, something to that effect. So one guy just, he just kept reciting that to me when I met him, and he said, oh, yeah, that's like one of my, and they can act out and recall all of those kinds of things, just like they know all our raps. It's amazing. The fans are absolutely amazing.
Right on. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. Nice to know you're a fan.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Hey, you made mention about where you were only there for the first season.
Yes.
What was the reasoning for that? Was it due to conflict or injury?
Injury. Yeah, I would have loved to. Being that I started with the show from the beginning, what I did is I got trained by Mondo Guerrero. We did the pilot. And then the first season, myself, and believe it or not, Americana, we were opponents, right? We were both trainers that trained the new girls that were hired for season one. So we had others because, you know, we had a few professional wrestlers already to begin with. So like Salt and Pepper, Dallas, Debbie was also a wrestler. She was Killer Tomato. And so like they also helped out with the training. And then after I was gone, of course, they had like Nanichka and and I think Debbie Debutante and a few of the other characters that were more senior from season one and that were training in season two, three, and four. So when I got hurt, I had injuries. I injured fingers, a wrist, ankle, shoulder, and then the bad one was my back. And I wrestled barefooted prior, I want to say it was pre-pilot, and I think it was the Tom Schneider show, and we had a ring there, but it wasn't a wrestling ring, so it was really just a like a boxing ring with just the tarp on top, but with the ropes. And I tripped and fell, so I kind of twisted my ankle, and I've had a twisted ankle since high school in basketball, and it's been an injury my whole life. It never completely healed. I would have been better if it was broken, but I've never been able to sit Indian style with my legs crossed on that ankle anymore, not like before I did it. So when I did this spring, it was bad, but I just worked it. So from that point on, I said I'm wrestling in boots. So that way, if I needed to put a brace under the boot, if I was having a bad ankle, that could be done. And just because it was so much more dangerous, like Jungle Woman, she wrestled barefooted. And I think there were a couple others, but she was one of the first ones that wrestled barefooted after I quit wrestling barefooted. And then the big thing was, is when I hurt my back. So everybody said, well, which match was it? And it wasn't really like an incident like Susie Spirit in her arm. We know that was the headhunters that she got. Mine kind of was a gradual to where all of a sudden I woke up one day and I couldn't get up, couldn't walk, you know, that kind of thing. So I went back home to LA and I went to the doctors and I saw an orthopedic and they said, yeah, it's not good news that you've got two herniated discs and, you know, we're thinking you may need surgery. It was my L4, L5. So kind of right in the crook of your lower back. And so instead, like a dummy, they had asked me, do you plan on having a family? And I said, well, sure, I'm only 21. What do I know right now? You know, I said, if you're asking me that, yes, I would like a family, whether it happens or not, you know, we'll wait to see. But so then they said, well, if you plan to, we suggest not to go back to doing wrestling. So like a dummy, well, not like a dummy, I listened. And then if I had been smart or I would have thought about it, I would have gone back to Vegas and maybe talked to David and Matt and said, hey, this is the deal. You know, what else can I do? Can I train? Can I be a manager? Can I be a commentator? Can I do interviews? What other capacity could I work in, right? And I didn't even think of that at the time. So I just said, okay, you guys, it looks like that's it. Went on my merry way, and I thought, okay, now what do? I went and got a regular job. So my mom worked for the airlines, and I didn't want to lose my travel. And so I said, you know what, maybe I just need to go get a real-time job. And so I ended up working for United Airlines for 25 years. So that's all I did. So from the time I stopped Glow, that was the only job I had. And then I retired with a medical retirement because of my back injury. So I had a reoccurrence and I got hurt at work. And that kind of did me in, along with I was exposed to toxic chemicals there. So everybody, I have somebody I just want to help write an autobiography, but I don't really want to do a book. I'm thinking of doing a short documentary to kind of tell all of this in detail and then to get into what did happen after I left Glow and what happened with United, because there were about 54 of us who ended up being exposed to these toxic chemicals. So we had a few employees die in it, and it go pretty far. We had Aaron Brockovich, the attorneys and the doctors that did that case were our attorneys at the beginning. And then, of course, United didn't play nicely, and, you know, all that's a whole other story. But so that's how it happened. And then basically I went on and, you know, I got married and started a family. And I had my first son when I was 33, and he's now 24. And then after that, a few years later, I got pregnant again, and I lost that baby at 6 months, and then about another 4 years after that, I got pregnant again, and I lost that baby again at 6 months. So the doctors may have not have been wrong when they suggested I stop wrestling, because we don't have a definitive answer on why those things happen, because at the time I was exposed to those toxic chemicals, and I was ingesting the chemicals as well as the baby was getting it. So that's kind of the story that happened after the fact. And then now here we are 33 or 4 years later, and I'm on the phone with you guys and, you know, doing a podcast, and we're talking about something that we did back in the 80s. Now, who would have ever dreamed or thought of that we'd be doing this, right? So Hindsight, everybody, when they ask me, well, why didn't you go back? And I said, you know what? I don't know. I said, I guess because I got so involved in my job and I was working and I was making good money that it just never dawned on me, hey, well what was I going to do? I mean, at the time I worked here in Los Angeles. I moved to Hawaii and I worked in Hawaii. I transferred back and forth like 3 different times. United transferred me because I did different jobs and so forth. So I moved back. But had I thought about it, I could have done what I said, been a commentator, you know, because I didn't leave on bad terms or anything. So had I thought of one of these things or said, Matt, well, what do you think? David, what do you think? You know, can you find something for me to do? You know, you want me to, I don't know, carry pineapples in and instead of crushing them, hand them out to fans and do something. I don't know. I mean, you know, they were creative. I mean, we had Steve Blank and all, you know, the other writers that we had. I'm sure they could have come up with something, but it just didn't even dawn on me to pursue that. So, you know, I miss it because I've had Otto von Klutsch. I don't know if you know who he is. He's one of the younger male wrestlers out of the California area. And he wrestles with, what is it? Inland Wrestling, ECW. And one day, you know, I had met him at a different show, and then we stayed in touch and we were texting back and forth and, you know, keeping each other abreast of what was going on. And so he said, hey, I'm wrestling on Friday and Saturday. Is there any chance of you coming down? I said, you know, for sure I can. I said, let me see if I can get a few of the girls to come out and support you, right? So then he calls me back and he says, hey, what about, can you be my manager? He says, Friday night, do you think you could come? Because he's a surfer dude, Hang Ten and Shaka, and he comes in his wetsuit, or he's, you know, he's got that hairy flips and stuff. So he said it would be perfect. Could you come in and I'll check with them to make sure it's okay that the Royal Hawaiian's going to be my manager tonight. And so he did. He passed it through. The promoter said, good, or the day before. And he said, do you want them to put you on the flyer? And I said, well, I don't know if it needs to be all that, but I said, I'll do it. And so then I was trying to get things together. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do this for this guy, I need to come, you know, Royal Hawaiian out. So I thought, okay, I need to get a pineapple. I got to come in with the real pineapple. And of course I have flower lays and all that. Well, he already had it covered. I got to the place and I just wanted to check in first, and then I was going to run to the market to get a pineapple. He had the pineapple and a fresh double orchid lay for me. So I was like, oh, wow. He was right on the money and everything. So it was such a great show. They announced me as one of the GLOW champions, blah, blah, the whole nine yards, you know, a regular announcement, you know, manager of the Royal Hawaiian from GLOW, blah, blah, blah. And then I had fans there. So of course they were screaming because they knew who I was, not expecting that I would be there. And then of course they have him come out, and then he says, well, do you want to get involved? I said, sure. I said, like what? He says, do you want to get in the ring or do you want to just stay by the, you know, by the turnbuckle? And I said, well, I'm in a dress and I'm in heels and I got sciatica. So I probably think it's not going to be the easiest thing for me to jump up into the ring. If you guys come down onto the floor, I can surely jump on. And it was Vegas, what's his name? Oh, my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. Oh, my gosh, the blonde muscle, big muscle guy that He wrestles as Vegas. What? I am so sorry. Vinny if he ever sees, what's his name?
Was it Vinny Vegas?
No, you know what? Oh my gosh. If he sees this, he's going to kill me because I know him. But again, it's that memory thing. I could see him in everything. Yep. He wears like hot pink and black, and he works out in the gym like crazy. He's a big, beefy, muscles bulging out of everywhere. Anyway, so we decide if I can work it on the floor, I will. So he gets thrown off out of the ring. I jump on top of him, and I'm sitting on him like a horse. That's how big he is. And so I'm like riding him like a horse and squeezing my legs around him. And then I get him in a headlock. And then I release, and I thought, no, I better not get too rough. So I'm holding him though by the neck, and I think I did it a little too long. He's like, shit, I thought you were going to kill me. No. And all the fans are literally like 2 feet away from you in those little arenas, and they're in your face. Boo! Because, of course, we were bad guys, so they didn't like us. And But it was the most fun I've had since 1980s doing Royal Hawaiian, you know? So it was a kick. And I told them, call me anytime. You need help. You want someone to bring you in. No problem. So we end our match. I come in, go out the other door, and the fans see us. Some of them come out. Can I have an autograph? Can I take a picture? Da, da, da. So it was so much fun. And then this guy comes up to me and he says, do you know who I am? And I'm looking at him. He kind of looks familiar, but I'm thinking, if he's from the glow days, that's a long time ago for me to remember. And you may look completely different. He says, don't you remember me? I was your trainer. Oh. I was your trainer when you were bodybuilding. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Robert. And he was, I used to train with a fellow classmate from high school. His name was Billy McFarland. And he was training me. And this was in San Gabriel. And then he, I don't know, either got a different job or was leaving the gym or something. And so he passed me off to this Robert. Well, Robert now is actually running a wrestling school in Covina, which is where close by to where I used to live in California. And I used to live in Glendora. And so this is where this match, where this show was taking place. And so I was like, I don't believe it. And he says, yeah, that's who I am. Says, can you believe this? What are the chances of you doing all this and coming here tonight and me seeing you? So as a matter of fact, too, I'm going to make a note right here because he texted me the other day and I was supposed to get back to him and I still haven't. So I'm just making my note to call him back because I had some project that I wanted to discuss with him. And so I'm trying to maybe do something with him along with the Glow Girls. So that's another project that I kind of have that I'm going to be working on. But yeah, so it's been fun, even though, you know, I didn't do it way back right after I got injured and it was still hot, you know, because I could have toured with the girls and did all that, you know, fun stuff and what have you. But the time that I did have was awesome. It was amazing. I would do it over in a second.
Very cool. Going back to your back injury, you had mentioned earlier about the Netflix version of Glow where they would like mismatch some of the girls' characters and characteristics
yes.
together.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say Kia Stevens, who we know as Awesome Kong, her character in season 3, she was her main story in that season was her living through a serious back injury and just, you know, fighting through it and not telling anybody. Do you think that was portrayed off of your back injury?
Could be. It's funny you bring that up because guess what? That night I just talked about being the manager for Otto Von Klutch, mm-hmm. that was the first time I met her in person. She wrestled that night there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was amazing. I was like, oh my God, what are you doing here? She's, I'm on the card. And I'm like, no way. And you know, I've seen her because, of course, I've seen the show and everything. And some of the girls, some of the Glow girls had gone to one of their, filmings or something. And so some of them had met her, but I did not go to that. And I had never met her. So I was like, oh, my God, that's great. Can I take a picture? You know, da, da, da. And she's like, oh, my God, I should be asking you that, you know. And so she said, no. She says, yes, we'll take a picture. She says, but can I go get dressed? Because she wanted to be in her garb, right? She wanted her costume on. So I said, yeah, no problem. So I let her do her thing. And then we got pictures. And, in front of the, you know, the backdrop and everything. And it was just great. But, you know, I was trying to think of, at the time, the only other one that had an injury like mine was Jungle Woman. And Jungle Woman left not long after I did. So she had an injury to her back and her neck. And so she initially, they said she was going to need surgery. And I was so close. I mean, I was centimeters from having back surgery. And then I went to seek a second opinion. And I really liked this doctor. And he said, if you're not 100% into it, that you do want to do it, then don't do it. He says, let's work on it. Let me put you back into physical therapy. Let me put you into aqua therapy. And from the time that he put me in aqua therapy, I had lost 50 pounds from doing aqua therapy, not swimming. I would walk in the pool, and it was a lot, you know, gym pool, lap pool, walking the long laps forward, backwards, sideways, and then doing regular gym workout as if I was in the gym with weights. I was in the pool with weights doing that. So I never did the surgery. Now Annette, she changed her mind. She didn't want to do it either, but she ran into serious problems and she said, you know, I can't handle it anymore. Because hers, see, mine was lower back. Mine was L4, L5. Hers was back all the way up to her neck. So she had surgery. She had neck and back surgery. And I don't know the exact, you know, I think it was part was fusion and part was disc or whatever they did. I don't know. But that's what happened to her. So I don't know as far as any other back injuries. That's not to say that there weren't any, because like I said, I was only there for season one. But it could have been, you know, that could have been the background of the storyline, because that's what really did me in, you know. I think, you know, I probably would have, I think I would have developed into a, you know, a regular character, and playing it like I did that whole first season, you know, but then it ended. So, you know, we don't know. And some of the stuff, you know, was made up, you know, some of those storylines, of course, were written to get and keep the viewers, you know, entertained and all that. But yeah, it's been a good show. I've really enjoyed it. So when people ask that, we get that all the time. What do you think about the next show? I loved it, you know, from the beginning, regardless of whether we got to participate or not, because there were some that were, you know, adamantly not happy about it, that we did not get asked to participate, did not ask for, you know, even just an interview of each of us to get some character background. But it was just, you know, Ursula, babe, the one who, I guess, leased the Glow name or whatever, because she owns the name of Glow. So, but yeah, it was a good show, or it is a good show, and probably will continue to be great next season. So it's a shame that, you know, it's going to come to an end, but we'll see, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah. You never know.
So. Well, I've got to say that, you know, regardless if it's the original series with you and the other girls, or if it's the Netflix series, they're pretty much both immortalized. You know, you'll always be able to see something of the glow.
Exactly.
And, you know, you were a big part of that. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. And just for the record, Chris is my wife.
Oh!
But I'm going to say right now that I had a big crush on you during the original series.
Well, thank you, Jim. You know, I get that a little bit. I'm mostly with Hollywood when we're on the road or we do an event and Lightning. So the three of us are usually together. And I always say, and I promote the fact that Jeannie Hollywood is the icon of Glow. I mean, she did all three seasons. She toured. She still works today. She's an awesome character. She's done well. She's got her own production company, and the fans love her. She's beautiful, right? You see her. So when we go off somewhere, you know, I mean, there's no jealousy on my part. I mean, she's earned everything she has. There are some girls that are very jealous of that. But you know what? She's worked her butt off. Yeah. And when people come, they'll come to our booth. And, you know, she's got tons of care. I mean, granted, she's been there. You know, she was there for all that time. I was only one season. But guess what? I still do have a lot of fans. And I still do have those men that come up to me and say, oh, I have you to thank for my boyhood when I was in school. And some of them will give me a little bit more of the story that I really want, but it's really cute because they were young men, you know, like maybe 13, 14, 15, not but maybe the younger ones. And no, and they do. Because how old were you when you were watching us?
Oh, see, now I was in my early 20s.
And okay, I was dating him at the time.
At the time you were? Oh, my God. So you must have hated me.
We've known each other for 40 plus years.
Okay. Well, so then you were secure in it. See, that's just like, uh-oh.
Oh, I know him. The day he stops looking is the day he dies.
And hit something, guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we can still hear you.
Right. Okay, but then I don't see you.
Uh-oh.
What did That's I do? Okay. I came close to something. Anyway, maybe that will get... There we go.
And this ends part one. Next week, we will follow up with part two. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, the Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.wrestlehorror.com.